Improv groups like Second City in Chicago make us laugh, but our next guest says it can also help us learn to be better communicators. She runs classes and seminars to help businesses improve communication and leadership using the basic building blocks of improv comedy, and she's with us now to share her philosophies.
Lisa Carlson is a speaker and trainer who uses improv to help people communicate better. Lisa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, hi, Rob. Hi, Veronica. It's my pleasure.
Well, Lisa, improv, it seems like it's all over the place in recent years, but for people who haven't encountered it, give us a brief rundown. How does it work?
Sure. So most people think of improv as comedy first, and basically it's a game that might be set up, and everything is off the cuff, off the brain. There's no preparing, really, except for the practice that you do as an improv actor, but everything's made up on the spot.
And so when you say the principles of improv can help us communicate better, help us be heard, what kinds of skills and principles are you talking about?
Sure. So improv really doesn't have any rules except for the fact that we say that it doesn't have any rules, meaning that whatever is said is golden. If you say that the purple sky is going to shoot out rainbows and yellow canaries, absolutely an improv actor is going to accept that and move on with that and actually heighten the scene. So because we are trained to accept what's being said or done, we can help that show keep the flow going, which is some of the principles that I teach other people. Because when I went to Second City to train, I really thought I'd be funnier or wittier, which maybe happened, I don't know, but it actually changed the way I approached life. And once I used that daily, I was able to see how people communicate and also how to improve communication.
Well, let's talk about some of the listening and reacting styles that we see in improv. Let's talk about the principles that we could then apply outside of the improv world.
Sure. So number one is that you say yes, that you're agreeing with what's being said. Not that you agree with it, but that you agree that you're hearing it. That's number one. We say yes. The second part is yes and. So I've heard you, and I'm going to validate you. I'm going to either add to that, or I'm going to make sure that you know that I've heard you. The other part is that we support one another. We always support one another. And actually, the fourth part is, which is the last one that I can tell you, is we take risks. We don't mind failing. And that kind of comes into the fact of judging, prejudging. We're always, what if I don't say something? Or what if I do say something? That's where the risk-taking comes.
I've heard about the yes and aspect of that before. What improves when, you know, your colleague says something and instead of going, yeah, but that's not going to work, you go, you know, yes and? What changes in that dynamic?
Sure. So if you've been in any environment where you know that the dynamics of people are always different and you walk into a meeting or any kind of event where you know there might be some resistance, we should really put on that festival. Yeah, but we've done that before. We've tried that already. And so what happens is you break down the communication of the person who's sharing it, because we all just want to be heard. It's the value of being heard. Of course, you've got an employee who's always constantly being told no, they're never going to bring their ideas to the table. So innovation, collaboration, and communication breaks down. So an example I use is if you're a busy, busy boss and you have an employee that comes bouncing into your office and says, hey, I've got this idea I'd like to share with you, instead of saying, I'm so busy, we have deadlines, sometimes saying, I would love to hear your idea, which is yes, and can you make an appointment with me for coffee next week? That's the and.
We're talking to Lisa Carlson. She's a Wisconsin-based speaker and trainer. She's telling us how we can use the principles of improv to help us communicate better, not on the stage, in our daily lives, at work, say. So at work, sometimes we'll hear an idea and think, that's such a bad idea that I don't want to give it the yes and. We should just sell all our corporate holdings and invest in a rocket to Saturn. How can you really apply improv to anything that a colleague says?
Yes, Rob, you can. So, and it takes training to not react in the whole, like, what are you talking about there? So you say, yes, Andy, rocket scientists are great. And I think that that might be something we could put on the table. Let's talk about the issue at hand. So at least they understand that maybe they've kind of got off the deep end and it's a different conversation. But there's absolutely, it's just respect, really. It's just, how do we, because people get excited. It doesn't have to be the naysayers. It's just like, oh my gosh, and then we could do this and this and this and this. And it does take some training to say, yes, I love all of your ideas, and we have one that we're going to flesh out until we get to the next one. That's one way that you could probably communicate that. Again, it goes back to helping people feel validated, feeling like they've been heard. And sometimes we bring up ideas that we don't really care if they're done our way. We just want to feel value in the fact that we were able to respond.
And you teach these improv-style skills to business people, to professional people. Are there any particular exercises that you do to get them to embrace these?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're having fun all day long. And I actually have different games depending on which kind of group I'm tailoring it to. Maybe they want to do more collaboration, or maybe they want more communication. So I really tailor some of the games that you've probably seen if you've ever watched Whose Line Is It Anyway or something like that. What I do is I take them and I apply to why we're using them so they understand the game a little bit better. And they can take them and use them if they've got a culture that does that in their own businesses. What happens is that after a whole half day or an hour or two of play, people start to ask, well, I've got this employee and blah, 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 and they actually try to apply it. So it's really great because they both get the fun and that looseness understanding, and then they also get to ask questions on how to talk it out, like the rocket scientist.
And Lisa, you mentioned that part of the point here is that using this yes and improv approach will help overcome that sort of instinctive resistance people have to a new idea, maybe an out-of-the-box mm-hmm. idea. Do you encounter that resistance as you're trying to teach it to people? People say, Lisa, no and no.
Yes, I do. I have this one game. It's called One Word at a Time, and I get three volunteers up, and we have to create a sentence one word at a time, and usually it's like about hamburgers or Bloody Marys or happy hour. And so what will happen is the best part is that people get to see it. They're predetermining where the sentence should go, or they're like, what are you talking about? So it's a great exercise to show them the resistance that they're using in everyday life.
Lisa, I understand that both of your parents were deaf. Your husband is as well. Did that help you learn to communicate and how you approach it?
Yes, both my parents and my husband are deaf, and it's like I'm collecting deaf people. I've been a great observer of body language and how people respond to spoken language. So I can read somebody's face and see, I didn't understand what you're saying. And it's it's another thing that I also teach just briefly about, because when you are paying attention or listening, you can see those cues in other people. So, for example, the one story I tell about my husband and I went into a furniture store. He goes one way, I go the other, and we meet in the middle, and I sign to him, hey, did you see anything? And behind him, I notice that there's this guy, this sales guy, like really kind of red-faced and a little agitated. Well, it turns out that he, as soon as I signed, the furniture salesman goes, oh, that's why. He had assumed my husband had ignored him the whole time, and he was probably saying, hello, hello, can I help you? Is this something you need? And so just cueing into people that just because someone doesn't hear you doesn't mean that they're ignoring you.
As we wrap up, Lisa, can you leave us with one piece of advice that our listeners can try to be a better listener?
Absolutely. I would say that if you can approach things with an open mind, don't prejudge what you're going to say or prejudge what someone else is going to say, you'll be able to use the yes part very quickly.
Lisa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much. I'm wishing you a wonderful day.
Thanks so much. That's Lisa Carlson. She's a speaker and trainer based in Northeast Wisconsin who uses the principles of improv to help people communicate better. With us, she joined us to tell us how improv humor can help us communicate.